I was actually not supposed to be in Seattle during this weekend. I had made plans to go to Nashville, Tennessee to attend the Young Adult Weekend over there. I hadn't quite finished swapping in the schedule when everything just kind of got pulled out from under us. So here we are. Here all of us are. We're just in our homes. Many big things and events we've looked forward to, they're canceled, and it can be discouraging. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, all such boasting. James 4, verses 13 to 15. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We never have, but now it is so much more clear. Not only that, we're faced with a thought. We're not going to be on this earth forever. The end will come for all of us, one way or the other, eventually. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Yourselves in the sight of the Lord lift you up. That's just a few verses before the first one I read in James 4 and verse 8. Humility. It is what I want to speak on today, not simply because it is a major theme of the unleavened bread and Passover, which we're about to observe, but I believe it is the key to finding strength in difficult times. Humility is not weakness, but great strength. And this is a message to all of us as we face an identity crisis with regular life pulled out from under us. Now, when we think about our identity, we might think of ego or self-esteem. In other words, what we think of ourselves, what is our identity? And we generally think of someone with high self-esteem as thinking highly of themselves, confident, maybe even proud. And those with low self-esteem, we think of as maybe very lowly, they don't think much of themselves. And in the Christian world, we might equate high self-esteem with pride. And naturally, our inclination would be to say low self-esteem is humility. And we might even support this with looking at the example of Moses, who was called the meekest man. In the situation where he was before God at the burning bush, he said to God, "Oh, I'm not eloquent of speech. Send another person to free your people, Israel." And so we hold this up as the standard of humility, to be self-deprecating, and perhaps to never seek after anything that might be hold any sort of status. But the fact is, God was very angry with Moses for not trusting him. God told Moses, "I made your mouth. I can help you do this." So humility is not simply low self-esteem or self-deprecation. It is something more. Now, what is humility? I propose that it's not anywhere on this self-esteem spectrum. On one end, you have high self-esteem. On low end, low self-esteem. What is the goal? I propose that the little sticking point is that word self. That humility is more than self. It is about others and how you're thinking about others. And in fact, it is the very nature and character of God to be humble. How can the greatest being to ever exist, the mightiest being to ever exist, be humble? Well, perhaps the best we can understand this is by looking at the example of God in the flesh. So today I would like to show the strength and humility that Jesus displayed for us on his time during his time on this earth. If you'd turn first over with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 5. This is shortly after Jesus was baptized. And the point in our lives when we approach baptism is perhaps a point in time when we most wonder what about our identity. Who are we? What are we about? And baptism is, in essence, kind of like a dying. And in this situation that Jesus faced in his baptism, he also went through an identity crisis of sorts. He afterwards fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He probably felt very incredibly weak, very incredibly powerless. And instead of being met by a friend at the end of this difficult period of trial, Jesus was met by his greatest adversary, who came up to him in verse 5 and challenged him. "Oh, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the ground." In essence, "Oh, Jesus, you think you're so great. You think you are the Son of God, don't you?" Has there ever been a time in your life when you're confronted by a challenge to your very identity, where maybe you're thrown into a new situation and you're wondering, who am I amid all of this? And maybe, for instance, some of you are out of work now. We're just at home. What is our identity? What are we doing here? And it can be tempting to say, I will pull myself through this. I will get through this difficult time. But Jesus did not. He, in essence, stood behind his father's legs as a little child who simply said, it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Satan tried to stroke Jesus' ego, but he wouldn't. And Jesus' comment reminds me very much of some words that Paul wrote for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. I'll just read this to all of you. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." You know, Jesus himself did not stand up for himself and his own reputation. He just took the insults that were coming his way, and he relied on God in everything. In fact, he says this over and over in the book of John. In one such instance, in John chapter 5 and verse 19, Jesus told us, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Jesus was totally reliant on God during his time on the earth. He had to go to God time and time again for his strength. There's many references to how Jesus would go and pray to God, even for an entire night, talking to God, asking for guidance. As a human, we can only see a very little bit. But this reliance, this humility, it is by no means weakness. It's not weakness to say, I can't do this on my own, because in fact, Jesus he showed great strength, incredible strength. If you look in Matthew chapter 21, in verse 12, Jesus walked into, this is Matthew 21, 12, Jesus walked into it was the main establishment, the center of all Jewish culture. The thing that the high priests themselves had established, the great religious leaders were a part of. This would be like walking up to the Lincoln Memorial and vandalizing it in front of the security guards, and they can't do anything to stop you. This is, and Jesus went into the temple and drove out all those who bought and sold the temple and overturned the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the people stood behind him. The people loved him. And because of it, he had great influence to make even the leaders of his society afraid to do anything against him in public. He held great sway and influence. And how? It was through humility. And it was through humility that he said to the Father, as he died on the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He humbled himself to the point of death, and in so doing, he gained the world. Humility is standing up for and supporting others. It is, in effect, an extension to the great law of God, to love God with all our hearts and to love others as ourselves. It takes strength to do this, and it creates strength within us to do this. The more we are humble, the more we can flow around the obstacles that life gives us, the more we can rely upon networks of support, friends, family, coworkers, and the strength of God himself to carry us through the difficult times. And not only that, to help those who might look to us as leaders, to carry them through as well. That this is how we can get through difficulty. We all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. Let's not downplay our strengths in the name of humility, but acknowledge they are a gift of God and meant for the service of his people. And also, let's not look at downplay our weaknesses either, because we cannot do everything on our own. We are not above others, and we are not below others. We are all born as children of God and are all part of God's family. Each of us is valuable. You can view yourself for yourself, or you can think of yourself as one star in the sky or one grain of sand on the seashore. Can you imagine a sky with a single star? How boring would that be? But you can be part of something so incredibly much greater than yourself. You can be one of millions of people all supporting and helping each other through difficult times. And you can take on the characteristic and strength that God has, who, at one point in time, through humility, decided to create others like himself. And he decided to think about each and every one of us, contemplating what our needs are, caring for us, and giving us the humble Lamb of God to bring us into his family. A happy Sabbath, and may you all humbly find strength in God and his family during these difficult times.